Welcome into another season of Dolphin Tales presented by Baptist Health. And we've got another great season of interviews with student athletes, with coaches, with administrators, and with alums. And I'm Scott Manzi, glad to be joined by my co-host Pat Sitkins for another year of Dolphin Tales. And we've got special guest athletic director Alex Ricker-Gilbert on to lead things off. But Pat, really the idea here was to kind of reflect a little bit on what was the last year and then kind of gear into what a new landscape in college athletics looks like, a new year, the 2021-2022 season.
Yeah, it's we had the idea right before COVID really hit, and to go through 29 episodes and be able to tell the stories, looking back on season one, it's really what we had envisioned, to be able to bring alumni back and bring them on campus as much as we could, just catch up with them and see what happens once you get through the university, once you're done playing. So to see people at public companies, to see producers out in Hollywood, people that are still playing athletics or still very involved in coaching and things like that, it's been incredible. So, yeah, the idea of today was to bring Alex in and talk about, what happened last year with just not a very standard season, to say the least, and just hear about what's going on now.
Alex, I mean, this was a year that was unlike any other last year, and now we're kind of transitioning a little bit going forward. It's not quote-unquote normal yet, but what ways have you seen things already kind of settling in this year versus last year when we were at this time?
Well, we're playing our fall sports in the fall versus last year playing them all in the spring. I do think, and first and foremost, thanks for having me on for season two, but I do think there is quite an adjustment still. I think last year was challenging in and of itself to just get our student athletes on the field, and that was the goal. And the playing surface, the court, whatever, wherever it is they played, and we were able to do that. And this year, I think the adjustment is trying to balance COVID still, get our student athletes on the playing surface still, but then revert back to some of what we did pre-COVID. And that has been a challenge and an adjustment. I congratulate our staff, our media relations staff, our athletic training staff, our strength and conditioning, our support staff has been extraordinary because the demands are a little bit greater. It's not just focused on getting our kids back on the playing surface, it's that and then some. And so we are working towards being whole again. I think the other piece of this is that the industry has been challenged to keep personnel. Last year was so tough, and you're seeing it all over the country, that personnel are moving around the country. People are leaving the industry, people are coming into the industry, and so we're moving and shaking in that regard. You just added somebody to your staff yesterday, two people to your staff yesterday, all while trying to get this thing going. So it's good to be back to more normalcy, but there's definitely still a major adjustment. We're not through it.
There you go. Well, looking at getting through last year and, for everything that happened, you guys still had a tremendous year. So talk a little bit about the championships and some of the success you guys had on the field.
Yeah, it was extraordinary to reflect on, be a part of, and a lot happened. I think that helped with some of the fatigue, was winning, and it always does. But in the spring, when we got everybody rolling, all of our sports were playing at once, and we did a really good job of, first and foremost, doing as much as we could to not get too many interruptions. But there was a bevy of success. I'll highlight a few of our championship runs and individuals that made NCAA championships. From track and field, you had two student athletes, Christy and Aja, make it all the way to the national championships after finishing well in the regionals. You had Michael Sikane win the Tallahassee regional in men's golf, beat the number one amateur in the world, I believe, Scott, by 5 strokes. You had women's lacrosse with a historic run, first team to make it to a Sweet 16 at JU since the 1970 men's basketball run. You had men's soccer make it to the NCAA tournament and win the league for the first time since 2008. And then maybe the most unique and wild run was with baseball. After having a really challenging regular season most of the way, 0-13 through April, I think 1-13 in the league, something clicked. I think Manzi said something to him, got him going, started winning a couple, and won the thing. And it was incredible. And so a lot of credit, again, to our student-athletes, but all the support around them. Athletic training had a heck of a year. Ensuring our student-athletes could be out there. Sports performance, media relations was at everything. Katie and Duncan were everywhere at all times. Of course, our academic support, making sure these young men and women were doing what they needed to do. So it was a team lift. It was a group lift, something that was memorable. It's a route I never want to go again, but I wouldn't change it for anything.
Looking forward, still in a sense of evolving through all of this still, but there are some exciting projects, some of which were delayed slightly due to the last year, but some that are gearing up now that we're seeing here on this campus, most notably the basketball performance facility, which is nearing completion now. But it does feel like there's some positive momentum really kind of gearing up around things happening here on campus at JU again.
Yeah, absolutely. And through it all, the president, the board of trustees have been extraordinary in our support. Of athletics, I mean, in the middle of the pandemic, we completely redid the weight room in the athletic training room. We added 2,500 square feet. You just don't see that. And with the space limitations, it was huge to have that extra space. And so you mentioned the basketball practice facility. We've been talking about that building since I've been here, going up, this is my 8th year since you've been here, probably since Pat was in college, and now it's coming to fruition. It's really exciting. Again, the support of our donors and our president. It's going to open in later this winter. We've got a few things to work through on the life safety front with it. We're building a road right outside of it, which is causing a little bit of delay so emergency access vehicles can get in there. But the building in and of itself is going to be done early December. And so we're hoping to get in there around that time frame. And it's obviously going to be extraordinary for those two programs. It has a weight room. It's got, obviously, the courts. It's got offices. It's a one-stop shop. More than anything, we're probably the only Division I program in the country with one floor on our campus. And four teams share that floor. Men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball, and cheer and dance. And so this opens things up. It allows more scheduling opportunity. It allows our men and women to really hone their craft whatever they want, 24/7. And then in the summertime, we can actually run summer camps,
yeah,
which invites the community to campus. We can have events. We can drive some revenue. And so it's going to benefit us more than us just dribbling and shooting. It's going to do a lot for us. Another big project, we replaced the turf this summer.
Yep.
Which is a huge lift for our lacrosse programs and for other programs to be able to condition there. That turf was out of date. And so we were happy to replace it with lacrosse-only lines and continue our path to being the lacrosse capital of the South.
Pat, if you haven't seen that yet, by the way, you need to make a pit stop on the way out of here and check out how bright green that new turf is.
I saw Alex posting about it, and I actually, when I drove in, I saw him out there, so I stopped real quick.
Nice.
to give it a quick pick. But yeah, I mean, it's something that we've talked about several times in pretty much every interview, probably on the alumni side at least, of just when you come back on campus and you see the difference in the facilities and the fields and the courts and all that different stuff. So you can see very visibly the advancement of the athletic department overall. But then on the other side of that, you made some pretty big moves last year from a personnel standpoint as well. So talk about some of the people you brought in and some of the big hires that you made.
Yeah, I think the one that, there's two that probably get the most notoriety, and the first one being hiring our head men's basketball coach, Jordan. And the season is 3 weeks away. I think that's right, Scott.
Yeah.
3 weeks away from our regular season. And Jordan's impact was felt immediately. And obviously, I think it's pretty public about some of the recruits he's been able to land, and we've got a lot of new bodies, and so we've got 9 new student athletes, and so I think you're going to see that team get better with time, better as the season goes, as they get more used to each other. But more than anything that I've noticed is sort of the emphasis and the priority he's put on having our young men be part of the community. They are at all of our events. They are interacting with other teams. They are involved in non-athletic events. And that's a change. I'll never forget, and this sort of sums it up, we played UNF a couple weeks ago in soccer, and we beat them. It was an intense environment, 1-0 on a penalty kick. And I stayed after the game. It was probably 20-25 minutes after the game. I'm walking off, and I hear this cheering coming from the field house. And the men's basketball team had waited after the game for the soccer team to enter the locker room. And we're greeting them and cheering them on. And there was no video camera or cell phone videoing it or taking pictures. It was them just genuinely supporting their fellow student athletes. And that was on their own. That wasn't with Jordan telling them.
Right.
He's invoked that, but that has become more organic in their understanding the importance of lifting the rest of the department up. So Jordan has really instilled that culture that we need for men's basketball to lift the rest of our department and campus up. That's been the most noticeable thing. And then Dee Brown, another big hire, welcoming one of our favorite alums back to campus to work really hand-in-hand with me in building our culture in athletics and serving as sort of a coach's coach, a coach's mentor, being there as somebody who is a voice for our student athletes, and also helping on the other side of campus with admissions and fundraising and marketing. There's nobody quite better than that, and to have him back home in Jacksonville has been nothing short of extraordinary. Really excited about it. I want to congratulate his daughter, Lexi Brown,
who won
the WNBA championship the other night with the Chicago Sky. And Lexi was happy, but if you see videos of he might be even happier. Really proud dad, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, he was making the rounds on social media on I think it was Friday or Saturday night when he was up there, and it was cool to see, and great accomplishment for that franchise, their first ever WNBA championship as well. Looking forward a little bit, I mean, I know it's a forecasting some, but all we hear about is how the world will change in ways coming on the back end of this pandemic as we continue to move into a more normal world state, if you will, but a new normal. What does that look like in college athletics?
That's $10 million question, Scott. I think we've got a time limit, so I'll try to be efficient with my words. It's hard to say, first and foremost, but I think that at the national level, you're seeing some communication about the governance of the NCAA changing. There is going to be a constitutional change at the bare minimum. And what that means is there's an overarching governing body, the NCAA, who is actually governed by a group called the Board of Governors. And so they oversee all of Division I, II, and III. It's a group of presidents. And Division I looks a whole lot different from Division III. And so trying to fit all of that under one umbrella is really challenging. And it's even more challenging in the environment where transfers have become a free agency market. There's name, image, and likeness, where there's student athletes at the Division I level making 6-7 figures, and at the Division III level, the same revenue opportunities just aren't there. And so it's a completely different landscape, and to try to govern it under one organization or one body, not going to work. And so the first change I think you'll see this winter is a change to the Constitution in which Division I, II, and III is no longer under the Board of Governors. There'll be a Board of Directors at the Division I level, II level, III level. So then Division I can sort of determine what it needs to do, how it needs to operate. Does football need to be sort of carved out of the structure? Does the revenue distribution need to change at all? And those questions are unanswered right now. Are there too many rules? I'll answer that for you, yes. And how do you make the rule book more efficient? How do you declutter some of what we're doing? How do you make the enforcement process more realistic? And so that's all out there. And with that, that'll all change sort of conference structure, how institutions operate. And so it's a little bit of wait and see, but we have to try to project a little bit with where the industry is going so we can set ourselves up and have a little bit of head start on this change.
Well, we crammed a lot in a short period of time there, but I appreciate you always taking the time, Alex, and getting us started here in season two. Pat, looking forward to many more great conversations as Absolutely. We catch up with alums, players, coaches, admin going forward on this season two of Dolphin Tales presented by Baptist Health.